on this episode of the Third Gallon Podcast.
That listen, hates goblins.
Goblins aren't people. We've established that today.
Goblins aren't people.
oh my goodness.
No. This show is going to get canceled.
After hitching a ride on a clockwork stagecoach.
You held up the stagecoach. You went and talked to Glass. You got some of his goons to try and attack this stagecoach. They're creature zero going up against creature seven.
I think so bad.
I criticaled on like a 9.
I think you criticaled at least once every round.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Micah's angels have made it into the Vault of Secrets undetected.
You made it into the Vault of Secrets. And the people on the stagecoach left. You are alone. You are right next to the entrance to Vault 14, which you know to be Lovelace's offices.
And can dig through Lovelace's office unopposed.
You see a bullpen, a bunch of desks, and a big room.
Are there any bowls in it?
Nope. But there's basically 3x3 desks and a square.
It's the captain's office.
Yeah.
Okay. It looks like the room from a police drama. Where all the desks where the officers sit all in one room, and the captain's office where you can see all of them working. It looks like we're looking at Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
We're breaking into the FBI.
Chester's eyes glow, and he says, hand me papers.
They start orbiting you like an anime thing.
Now.
So I did something very interesting for work that is related to what we do here.
Right here?
Right here.
Right here.
For
right
realsies?
Here on this podcast.
This tabletop.
This tabletop. I have a thing at work that started during COVID called Lunch and Learns. It was basically, I think like 2022, a way to like kind of incentivize people coming back into our office where you could do a lunch and learn about something you learned kind of related to what you work on. So you know, people know I work in software. I work on an app, basically. There's a lot of things you have to learn, and there's some cool stuff you get to do. And so people would do lunch and learns on, here's this cool thing I did. And if you're in the office, you got free lunch, which is great. But it's a cool thing. We've been keeping it up for about 2 years now at work. It's like every other week. And sometimes it's like something people are interested in. Like there's a guy I work with, I think I've mentioned before, his name's Travis. And he built a van that he lives in. He's really cool. So he's done topics about that that are kind of tech related. But recently, some of them have been really work focused. And sometimes it feels like a lunch meeting. You know, it's still important stuff, but whatever. And then I noticed that there was a wide gap open up on the schedule. And I was like, a lot of the people in this office don't know much about tabletop role-playing games. Like they know I play, but they don't know what it is. Some people think it's like a board game. Some people, they know I do a podcast, but they think it's like board game related stuff because it's tabletop. And I was like, we should do a lunch and learn about D&D. And so I made a PowerPoint that is like 70 slides long about Dungeons and Dragons. And I went through it and it took me an hour to go through all these slides on a lunch meeting at work.
This thing stole him from me for like 2 weeks.
Yep. I put my whole me into this. If you know me personally and you've hung around me long enough, you probably know about me that I love making really dumb PowerPoints. When we taught the Albert N folks, so Michael Howe, Zelda, and some others like Rytac, how to play Pathfinder 1E, I made them a PowerPoint. We had ran them through a module on character creation, but before that, we had like a whole PowerPoint presentation on about Pathfinder 1E, and it was great.
Boy gets excited to make PowerPoints.
Listen, PowerPoints are my love language, all right? There's a guy on YouTube now. I liked him before this, but there's a guy on YouTube who's been covering defense economics called Perun, and he's really good. He has great PowerPoints. I am a PowerPoint enjoyer. It's like the perfect combination of you can listen to it like a podcast, but then you have like visuals and you can be really silly about it. And I like to do the animate thing where every point I make, I like animate on cue. But I wanted to talk about this because of two reasons. Number one, this PowerPoint is fucking hilarious, and I'm thinking about making a video about it just on its own. And number two is it kind of touches on something that's really important to me in the TTRPG hobby is how do you teach new people this game? Because it's not, This PowerPoint is like squarely focused on D&D because it's most people's touchstone. So it's like D&D and specifically D&D 5th edition. Just because if I talked about TTRPGs in general, it would be twice the length and I would have lost my soul. But it does cover like that interesting thing because, I mean, you've all seen me try to teach other people how to play this game multiple times. And before, at least for me as a GM, I picked the game that I liked, which was Pathfinder 1E. That's also the first game I learned. So I was like, it can't be that hard. But as someone who's run a number of different games now, Pathfinder 1E is not a good game to teach people. It's got a lot of junk in it, to just put it lightly. Have you, any of you, before I talk any more about this PowerPoint, I'm having to stop myself. Have any of you had to teach new people in the past, whatever, to learn?
Yeah.
Jacob, we taught, set up Forbidden Lands with...
Well, not only that, but we've also taught Kat's sister and her husband to play 1E. We played a little bit of Crypt of the Everflame.
That's a good module.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're teaching someone new to the hobby, there's a couple different points you hit. First off, you need a game system that works well for it. I don't think Pathfinder 1E is it. D&D 5E is a lot better for new players. I think once you know how to play, it's very quick to see the things that make D&D not so great. Namely that like once you get past like level 3 or 5, you don't really change your character that much. You just get new things. You don't get any choices.
Yeah.
And that kind of sucks. But like 2E Pathfinder is definitely better than 1E Pathfinder, but there's still a lot of things you have to choose. Versus in D&D, it's really easy. There's good tools for it. It's really easy to build, and there's not a ton of things you need to choose. It's pretty easy to do something like a quick build. Versus Pathfinder, you have to pick not only your ancestry, but you get like ancestry feats. You get a class feat maybe. Like you get a lot of different things to pick, and the more things you have to pick, it can be like overwhelming.
The more overwhelming it is to a newbie.
Yeah, Forbidden Lands is actually shockingly good game to learn.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh yeah.
And the fact that you use the scores on your like abilities or skills or whatever is just the number of dice you roll.
Yes.
Is so easy to learn.
You don't even really have to do a lot of math to play Forbidden Lands.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's pretty easy to pick up. I wouldn't know if I'd teach anyone the Witcher RPG unless they were super stoked on it.
You'd have to have the tabletop to just
submit. Yeah,
yep.
Roll 20 did that for us. The game itself really isn't that complex. It's like D&D, if not somewhat simpler, but you use a D10 and you have the whole exploding dice thing.
Yeah. Except it's got facing.
It does have facing but that's rough. Stupid, if we're being honest. I have to go look at the game again, but I feel like if I ran it again, I would just ignore facing.
That's an option.
Yeah, because it's so hard to do on a virtual tabletop correctly that you may as well just fucking ignore it. And like just work around it or something like that with things like flanking or whatever.
I haven't really had to teach people TTRPGs. However, what I do in this group is recruit.
Well, you help. You might not be the main one teaching, but you're usually the person playing with the people learning.
Yeah.
So that helps.
Yeah.
That helps a whole lot, really. So you already have a good idea of how to teach. It's just you're assisting and usually letting Derek take the lead.
The thing is, Derek really likes it.
Yeah,
Sometimes modeling good play is enough to teach someone too.
Or even just taking up the slack in a spot you don't think they will. I remember when we taught the Albert.
Albert
Inn folks, I took the spot of a skill monkey so that they could take whatever skills they wanted and didn't have to think about what they might actually have to use.
Right.
Because I was just there to be like, hey, they don't got it, I got it.
I think what helps new players or people who don't understand the hobby more than just like the right game for it is breaking it down into how that game works functionally. And when I was making the PowerPoint, there was like a couple different things I broke it down into. The first one is just what is the basic flow of the game? I had a whole slide on this. It was basically just like the way the game works, if you've never played, is the DM or GM or whatever establishes a scene and then asks the players what they want to do. You as your player characters try to think of what your characters might want to do in the situation, and you work with your DM back and forth, and then whatever anything is uncertain outcome-wise, DM asks for a check. So like I gave the example here because if you've only like seen like Stranger Things or like heard stuff happen, you don't really get it. But like basically if we're playing an Alkenstar, I'm like, all right, you guys show up outside of what you think the Steaming Kingdom is. I describe the scene. It's this kind of place where it's built into like this wall side of the cliff, and I describe the entrance, and then I say, you know, up above it is like a marketplace, and then there's a narrow road. The door has like two slits, one's like this, blah blah blah. That's establishing a scene. And then implicitly you guys know that when I was done talking, I've asked you, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And you'll either talk as your characters, figuring out what you want to do, role playing, or you'll ask me something like, hey GM, do I see any other like route into this place? And then hence comes the check. But if you outline that basic flow, like some people don't know that's how these things work.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of free form, but that is kind of like the gameplay loop. And then obviously you have combat, and combat is separate. Combat's like more board game like. And then like the other thing they need to know is whenever something is uncertain, you have to make a check. How does check work? In D&D and Pathfinder, it's, you know, roll your d20, add, subtract numbers.
Roll your dice and move your mice.
Compare to other number, right? But in like... Drow just looked at Jacob.
Like they were going to throw something at him.
But in other games, sometimes...
I've thrown enough today.
Sometimes it's roll a pool of dice, count the sixes, right?
Like yeah.
That. Like a shadow run?
Yeah, fundamentally, how does a check work is like the other thing you need to know. And then after that, like everything else is just the like minutia of the game system that you're playing in, right?
Like, and you don't have to always do every last detail of the most specific stuff the first time someone plays. Beginner boxes exist for a reason.
Listen, you ain't got to teach people how to swim in Pathfinder until they ask to.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you let them die.
Yep. Yep. So another thing here is that like a lot of people also don't get what role playing is. We role play a lot, you know, in our own way. Everyone does it differently. We're people who like the game side. So we're not like the thespian actor people who really just want to get immersed and like put on a show like that. Our role playing is very giggly sometimes.
But we're like, definitely not serious.
But like role playing is kind of a foreign concept to a lot of adults, normal people, you know, non-nerds.
If they're not into like, say, theater or something, they might be very uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, the way I described it is it's literally just playing pretend, like kids playing cops and robbers, except, you know, instead of bang, bang, I shot you, and the kid says, nuh-uh.
Nuh-uh.
You have
I
rules.
Have a shield. You
know? I have a dinosaur that eats slinky shield dogs.
But it's weird because it's the most simple concept, but it can be really hard to get into as an adult for some reason. There's like so much sense of shame and self that it can be hard to get into. For us, we didn't role play at the table for years.
And it took me longer than y'all.
I just deal with the shame every time we play. Let's go. Yeah.
But like,
oh no, man.
Go then home, again. Have to take a shower. Oh, I played too much Pathfinder. Oh,
scrub away. Is that why you take forever to shower? You have to scrub away all the memories of playing TTRPGs with your friends.
I have to wash away all the RPG.
Yes. Listen, I do a lot of goblin voices, so it takes me forever to shower off all the shame.
My man, I've taken like a year of Duolingo to justify my Slavic accent for a character I don't even play anymore.
Listen, I did no research for my Slavic accent.
I know.
I know.
It's like, or how my first voice started by pinching my nose. Like, I improved.
I think the main thing is like, you want to teach new people how to roleplay, but that doesn't have to be all the way at once.
It's acknowledging that there are multiple types of role play. Yeah. There is speaking as your character. There is saying, my character says this. And then there is, my character says the gist of this.
Yeah.
Like, it's different levels of role play.
And the thing to what I said is like, so you don't have to do a funny voice. You could just do your voice. You also don't have to talk in first person, which is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And the main thing is like, you're only performing for yourself. Like, obviously,
and the friends at the table.
No, you're not even performing for them. So like, we're performing for a show. So this is different. But when we're playing in our home games, and there's no one else listening. Yes.
Uh-oh.
Always has been, Jacob.
Uh-oh.
But like, really, you are only performing for yourself. There's no point in role-playing if you don't enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
Because like the point of role playing is to get immersed and to enjoy being your character. So like obviously you don't want to piss off other people with your role play, but it is for you, you know? So it doesn't have to be big unless that's what the big theatrical act, unless that's what you want out of it, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it can just be talking in your voice. Sometimes it can just be talking in the third person. Whatever helps you get immersed, you know? But it's weird to me how every kid just about gets role playing off the bat. They don't even know what role playing is. They just do it. But then you become an adult and all of a sudden it's this thing you have to relearn how to do. It's kind of weird.
Because kids have no shame.
Gotta love that.
No, it's more or less we've got this societal idea that you have to be serious.
We live and you can't, in a society.
The glares.
You can't enjoy creativity and fantasy and fun. You have to accept adult standardized fun like sports.
Dude,
and,
when I was a kid, I was a Power Ranger.
And things like that, you know? The idea that all that stuff is childish and you must put it aside to be a true adult.
I'm a cat VTuber.
I think really growing up is realizing that you can just be a kid and there's no one that can stop you.
Like having a marshmallow fight for half an hour?
Like having a marshmallow fight for half an hour.
And then Derek chucking one of our dice.
No, a didn't D12. Just chuck it. He whacked it at me.
Yes. With a pickleball third story balcony
paddle.
Down onto the ground.
And we went outside and found it.
Listen, I missed. If I had hit you, would have bounced back in the room.
One D12 of damage,
that
literally.
Hurt so bad. Shame. Shame.
Listen.
We must have looked like weirdos with our phones in the grass by the balcony.
But maybe, maybe to circle back, teaching people TTRPGs is a good thing because it lets them unlock their inner child.
Yeah.
And that's healthy for everyone.
Mostly.
Mm. Putting yourself in someone else's, some people genuinely struggle with like empathy and seeing other viewpoints. It lets you in a safe space, put yourself in someone else's shoes and think from another perspective. It can be very introspective.
I also get to cast a bunch of cool-ass spells.
Make sure they know their characters can die.
Shadow Wizard money game.
We don't love casting spells.
Don't let them think they'll survive forever. You don't want to
break
them.
Okay, but you have to be careful because there are some tables where that would ruin it for some people. You need to know your table and work that person up or else you could just ruin the game for them entirely.
If you can't... That's part of the game, dog.
Yes.
If you can't handle tragedy and death in TTRPGs, I'm sorry, then you won't fit at my table because that's what makes it the spice.
Well, but there is a table for you.
But there is a
it's
table for you,
not
yes.
Here.
It's
not my get table. Out of here. Get out of here.
It's more or less not every... It doesn't have to be players versus GM.
Oh, yeah.
That sort of mindset would not work for me.
No, sometimes it's like, players versus players.
Yeah, that's... The mindset is like, I'm out to kill all your characters would just... It's okay, I guess, if it's my animal companion, Derek.
Hey, that made you get hella invested in that game.
It's like, that's a little different.
And you got a rock climbing mammoth instead. So, you know, all's well that ends well. A mammoth that climbed better than any of us.
Brendan Lee Mulligan once explained it well. He had a group he was running. This is some interview I watched of his.
Oh, yes.
Cybersource.
And it was like, the group was being silly and hee-hee.
And
they had a bunch of like... Silly, they're being silly. They weren't taking it too seriously. They had some person that they liked, and then like whatever, you know, evil force in the game killed them, and they got like so serious immediately.
Yeah,
that's called using trauma to get your players invested in a wise way. Isn't that right, Jacob?
And that's why you don't let people always have safe NPCs.
Mm-hmm.
I've allowed it in some games, and because I allowed it there, I will allow that to carry over. But like, if they make someone in their backstory and it makes sense for that person to be in danger, you put that NPC in danger. It just gives the character something to fight for.
Exactly.
But don't worry. Brick's children are fine.
All of them? Jacob's looking back and forth.
The ones I remember. And if I don't remember them, I can't put them in danger anyway.
The adopted
They're
ones
all safer
too.
To be forgotten
Listen,
this way, Drow.
If you have a character that's not your player character and you're worried about Jacob doing something to him, the best thing that can happen is for him to completely forget they exist.
That's how that's they're safe.
Brick's adult children are fine, and any children that Brick has that is the child is also fine. I ain't going to kill a kid.
Brick yet. Might.
Okay.
Oh, you stop that.
Yeah, I
you
did.
Stop that.
I did.
I wasn't even going there.
But yeah, I mean, like, but whenever Jacob was running his homebrew game and he had our like
it's
main NPC,
not people,
and he had his main NPC like that was giving us quests betray us,
mm-hmm.
like that's Beast. Seared into our brains forever.
Oh my goodness, betrayal plots, no
mission success.
Also, whenever like certain characters died tragically, seared into your brain forever. Like, obviously, you don't want to overdo it. But that's why, for me, the death and the trauma stuff is really good in the TTRPG. It makes it real, and it makes it personal.
Yeah.
And sometimes it makes it your fault.
Maybe.
You planned a death. And then you were like, oh, well, if you hadn't summoned this dog, he would still be alive. You had that death planned. And you, for weeks,
what is happening
led me
right
to
now?
Believe.
Summoned the dog? Oh, Dayrak?
Yes. Whenever Dayrak died, it was because, quote unquote, there was Owen who was going to take damage from a lightning bolt. And also,
I felt so guilty.
A dog that I summoned so that he would have something to flank with.
Hey,
and you said, if that dog didn't exist, Dayrak would still be alive. And then you made me
so
watch
guilty.
A Knight's Tale.
Like, my character was saved.
Listen,
and his died.
Me and Jacob wrote this death for good story reasons, and I couldn't let you on to the fact that we wrote it. I had to sell
so
it.
Hard.
You didn't.
I came clean as soon as it was done, but I had to sell it. I didn't want
you
to spoil this moment
for
you.
For months.
And when he came back, the joy you felt was overwhelming. And then
right
it was
then
immediately
there.
Followed up with
rage.
Vitriol towards me.
Listen, audience, you gotta make mistakes before you can learn from your mistakes.
I'm a firm believer in, you know, you be authentic and truthful, but when it comes to things like stories, like movies, if someone's trying to guess the plot, Drow, and asking you questions and trying to read you to figure out what happens before the thing's over, you just lie.
Oh yeah,
I just trust you. Yeah, I don't anymore. Believe me, I
Which
don't.
Which honestly only helped this niche scenario because now I can just say whatever and I'm not trusted. So it's great. You just do not like being surprised in stories for some reason. That's like
no,
my
dog.
Favorite part is being like, oh, and learning something about it. And you hate it. And I don't get it.
If I'm able to guess it right, then why not give it to me?
Because then you don't want to watch it anymore.
Have I ever gotten up?
Yes.
When?
So many times.
What the fuck are you talking right. about?
This sounds like it's getting personal.
This is getting personal.
Bing, bing.
Jacob, you want to step out, Bing?
Bing, bing. Edit this. Bing, bing.
Listen, there's so many times where I'm playing a game and you're invested in the story, and then you guess it, and then you check out and read webtoons the rest of the game.
I was going to read webtoons the rest of the time anyways.
I understand.
I know you do.
I don't have the same exact issue, but webtoons is a curse.
I get bored. Mr. ADHD, you should understand.
I do understand.
You can't sit and watch half an hour of TV with me without accidentally falling asleep or reading on your phone.
Listen, I just don't put myself in the circumstance. I already know that I'm not going to be able to make it through a movie anyway. Do we edit all that out?
I don't know.
We need
opinion?
To edit that.
That's an editing problem.
That was a little
problem.
Bit too marital strifey for the podcast.
I don't know. It could also just be funny.
We
it depends.
All of us pulled out guns.
Everyone's like, no, I'm blaming you. You.
Looks like we got a Trixican standoff. That's Borderlands, Joe.
Are you upset? Yes.
I'm always
that's
upset.
Yes. That's yes. That's a yes.
Let's kill some bad shield marshals.
Yeah, anyway, all this aside, let's go kill some bad shield marshals.
So teach your friends to play.
Teach your friends to play.
And
whether
don't
they like it or not.
As couples
don't
on the
play
podcast.
Games with your spouses, I guess.
Kidnap them.
Or do.
Hold them hostage. Make them play.
Yeah. Make your friends play. It's not a choice.
Yeah.
Compel
do
them.
It.
They'll
do
love it.
It.
Probably. Centuries before the Star Stone was raised, the Wizard King's Nex and Geb warred with one another. I wonder if they warred with one another because they were a couple and one of them read webtoons while the other was playing a game.
Sly Cooper.
Starring the land between them into a devastated, unstable magic wasteland.
Only webtoons weren't so addicting.
Oh, we've got to leave it in now because I referenced it in the opener. Fuck. From the glowing mask.
You did great.
Man of waste.
You just made my job so much harder. No, no, but I'm gonna talk the entire time now.
It's too late now.
You gotta listen to me,
Metropolis,
bitch.
Metropolis, airscripts, fires, factories, clockwork wonders, world, Alcanstar, pinnacle, innovation, determination, the...
Whoa!
...of surmountable odds, streets, Alcanstar, nonstop race, head of competition, here, desperate group, hungry, revenge, living, edge of law, ones cast about, outlaws of Alcanstar, ding, 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 ding!
I think I've been flashbanged.
I'm having a stroke.
What the heck happened here?
I think that it's deserved.
Oh, Jesus, shit. Don't give me sonic damage.
Oh.
Anyway.
This is second episode energy right here. We thought we were bad the first episodes.
Okay. Ooh. When we last left our brave band of marital strife outlaws.
Huh? Well, I mean, Chester and Sykir are a thing, canonically speaking.
Yeah, and Al's
Wait,
dead.
Hold on. I don't think that is... Stop that. Don't claim things are canonical. This is how jokes become serious.
Who reads the webtoons in Chester and Sykir's relationship?
Chester reads webtoons. But Sykir can also read webtoons. Are great. There's many genres. Listen, I love the dice one. And the vampire one.
And the isekai one.
I actually, listen, greatest estate developer.
Yes, greatest estate developer.
Greatest estate developer.
Remarried Empress.
Great.
Hot dog.
I got Jacob hooked on that one.
Tower of God, it's long.
Would it not be tall?
Rachel. We need to stop this. We already had a banter.
Cursed Princess Club.
Oh, my homie.
Cursed Princess Club.
All my homies hate Rachel.
When we last left our brave band of outlaws, you hijacked a stagecoach. You used fodder. I mean, the powder keg punks.
We were monsters.
A legitimate deal.
Anyway.
That cost three people their lives.
Goblins
you got
people.
Three goblins killed to stop the stagecoach. They got executed by these corruptial marshals.
One got away.
While you snuck onto the thing. All right, we gotta have some fucking words, all right? Recap paused.
Okay.
Yes. I did that wrong.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna out myself.
How wrong?
How bad?
How much significantly.
Did you have the big mercy on us?
Yes.
Oh.
But should it have been much harder?
Yes.
Even with my amazing role?
Yes.
Congratulations,
basically,
Derek.
So the way this thing is supposed to work is to approach the stagecoach without being spotted. At least half the characters must attempt a DC 25 stealth check. You guys crushed that one.
Yeah.
In initiative.
Okay, check one.
Well,
or use deception to create a diversion. That part's fine. Once you're close, the characters can break into the stagecoach with four successful DC 25 thievery checks, or cling to the underside of the stagecoach with a successful DC 25 athletics check.
See, I thought we were going to have to cling to the underside. I was ready to have to do that.
Gotcha.
I was hoping if that were the case, I could just use dex to hold on.
You could have also intimidated them.
Way?
With... yeah, don't think that's how that works.
I had spider climb stuff in my back pocket if we needed to.
I have a climb
That's
speed.
Actually pretty cool.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, you would have been fine. You could have also tried to intimidate them.
Intimidate might have worked for me.
Or you could have just fought them.
Wait, if we had intimidated them, would we have had to have rode in with them, or would we have just made them get out?
You would have made them get out, and you would have ridden off with it, basically.
That's a little sketch.
I have issues with that, but I understand.
Yeah.
Because that puts us on a time limit when we get there.
Yeah.
That's why sneaking in is the ideal way.
But basically, I let you just open up the back of it, and it should have taken a lot more work to open it up.
How
but I rolled a 35.
Supposed to...
Dude, that's on stealth. You're supposed to do four thievery checks.
Which we would have... I think we would have got that pretty... Was a DC what?
25.
I have a 16 in thievery.
And I have a 15 in thievery. So between the two of us, we probably could have handled it.
Maybe we wouldn't have got it all successes, but we would have got it eventually.
Yeah, but it would have taken an extra couple rounds. Yeah. And those goblins.
The goblins would never have survived.
And then you would have had to figure out what to do.
Yeah, that's the kind of issue. Like a deception to cause a distraction. What distraction? Yeah, we handled it. It's fine.
It worked fine.
Ventriloquist trick.
You may have been merciful for us, but I think what we did made sense.
Yeah.
We did create a diversion.
And I also think technically I had it like a cargo stagecoach kind of. It should have probably just been all one thing. So if you broke in, there would have been people in there.
Ah. That would have been problematic.
Yep.
That would have made it impossible.
I actually expected to open it up to people.
Hanging on the bottom.
I think basically you're supposed to you hold them up or intimidate them or however you do it. And then if you're going to bust into it, then you need the thievery checks to bust into it.
If you had forced us to hang on to the bottom, I think we would have had it. We would have even had enough time to do it because the distraction was happening. We would have slid underneath the thing. And I imagine with the climb speed, you'd at least get a bonus to the athletics checks, if not have to make them at all.
Yeah.
And then I could have given Chester and Eleanor spider climb in one round.
Yeah.
And then Sykir has climb speed. So if we consider it like that, what we did wasn't much different.
Oh, I don't care too much about it being off. It was a little bit easier.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, the way it played out was way funnier and more enjoyable.
I might could have passed the
really nice
athletics for that because I'm actually not weak.
Yeah, but why make it when you can just not have to roll?
But anyway, to resume our recap, basically, you held up the stagecoach. You went and talked to Glaz. You got some of his goons to try and attack this stage because they're creature zero going up against creature seven.
I think so bad.
I criticaled on like a 9.
I think you criticaled at least once every round.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
And whenever I criticaled them, they got deleted.
Executed.
Yeah.
Delete.
Yeah, more or less.
I'm not.
One got away.
We sent I'm not proud them to of this. Their deaths.
I thought it was hilarious.
At least whenever I killed a goblin child, it was just one.
These aren't children.
They're all basically
stupid
children.
Adults.
The thing is, though, getting the powder keg punks to do this is almost completely foolproof because they are stupid enough to do something like this.
Also, if you looked at the tokens, those were gnomes anyway, so.
Oh, never mind. Feel less bad.
Like, they really would do something that stupid that they'd fail at.
Drow, if it was halflings, would you have encouraged the other one to stick around?
Drow would have helped.
Just shoot the running one.
If they were halfling Norgabarites.
Where'd that mysterious bullet come from? You're not getting away.
I do hate halflings.
Oh, I know how to tempt Drow in certain fights now. It's just, I don't know if they're going to fight these people or not. You know what? I'll throw in a little halfling there.
And it's just be wearing a dark cloak. Halfling.
Just give them a sticker or a patch on their cloak that says, I heart halflings.
I made an example character halflings in my PowerPoint for work, and his name was Jimothy Rangerton, and he was a halfling, and Drow did the artwork
so
for him
smarmy.
And was so angry about it. It was great.
Uh-huh.
Anywho.
Hang on. Oh. We actually need to talk about... I asked for inspiration pieces for this character. so that I would have a brief idea of what he wanted. Of course, I had artistic freedom because I'm getting paid in chicken.
This is America.
In chicken? Like you got Bojangles for it?
Yes. Yes,
ooh,
I did.
Ooh, yummy.
Oh, God. Where is he?
Wow, we send way too many messages to each other.
Yes. So the first one is the smarmiest looking halfling I have ever seen. He looks like he's telling you very poshly to suck his nards. The next one is the sucked in cheek meme face. The sucked in cheeks with the very arched brows, very like intense glare and big lips.
Gojek?
Here,
Soyjack.
I'll share this mood board
that's
real quick here. Since we brought it up, here's the mood board.
And then a Sam and Frodo.
Oh, no.
And then
that's,
a very, very lovely halfling ranger with his dog. And then fucking Norgerber.
Norgerber himself.
Himself.
The god, the deity, Norgerber.
Yes.
This is Jimothy Rangerton's
that's
mood
like
board.
That's like a spit in their face.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, hey, do work for me. Let me insult you while I ask you to.
We do a little trolling. Anyway, you hijacked this thing. You
he
made it into
the arts.
You made it into the vault. I paid you in chicken.
And made me look at Norgerber.
Everything has its cost. You made it into the Vault of Secrets, and the people on the stagecoach left. You are alone. You are right next to the entrance to Vault 14, which you know to be Loveless's offices. And that's where we left you guys. Let me describe what you see here.
Yes, please.
So I don't have any particular favor text. So as you guys exit the carriage or the stagecoach and you're looking around, you see a couple other parked stagecoaches. You see the elevator right here, north of where you are.
Oh.
And you see the entrance to what looks like another set of offices called Vault 15, north of you.
All those doors.
Yes.
Hmm.
And so the entrance to Vault 14 is here south of you. But otherwise, this just looks like kind of a warehouse. It actually goes further. So like there's these two. This is like a carriage hangar, basically. Yeah. There's an exit north and an exit south that go to more hangars, basically.
Are those outside the scope of the adventure?
Yeah, there's a big gray fog wall.
Chester will hop out, and if there are no like people here, he is going to quickly run to each carriage and open them up and see what's inside.
You see a bunch of just different documents. Some have some like supplies, like Twinkies and Ho-Hos. One has some coffee.
Any Swiss rolls?
Yeah.
Hot dog. I'm going to take some.
That one's going to the vending machine in the break room, obviously.
I'm taking a box of Swiss rolls.
Okay. Otherwise, there's a bunch of different documents like the ones that you're in. What do you do?
Can we scan a few documents and see if we see anything important?
It's mostly like the ones here don't look related to anything for Loveless. In fact, they don't even look like they're being delivered to her office outside of like some just standard bookkeeping stuff like hour logs, worksheets.
Yeah.
So like the reason we're here is to try and find out where she is, right?
Basically.
You're trying to get any information on what she has been up to recently so you can track her down.
So we need to get into her office.
Yes.
Well, let's do it.
All right. The door to her office is right here.
So we're going to Vault 15, correct? Chester will go up to it and...
Oh, Jacob, you pieces. He just posted a screenshot of his Hero Lab inventory. Alchemist Toolkit, Bottle Cap 2, Box of Swiss rolls.
And for once, he actually capitalized Swiss rolls. Listen, I'm so proud.
You gave me Mousetrap and I used it. You just see what I can do with a box of Swiss rolls.
Are you going to put Pyronite in them?
I...
Jacob's face. He just went, ooh! Without the ooh noise.
He got inspired.
Oh. Congratulations. I think that I have just encouraged you to commit a war crime.
Each carrot. Oh.
Oh. Can we get into Loveless's office now?
Let me check something as I click on my key making tools.
If you can't do it, I'll try.
I have a... Excuse me. In game. Please. I get a bonus from you, don't I?
I would like to detect magic.
Anywhere in particular you're looking
smart,
for magic?
Smart.
I don't think that it does that. I think that it's just an area around me, 30-foot emanation.
Okay.
And this is mostly just so that I can maybe pick up if there is an alarm somewhere?
You don't detect any magic whatsoever.
First, I will use my alchemical sciences to make an eagle eye elixir.
Okay.
I will then drink said eagle eye elixir to increase my...
Look at me with your eagle eyes.
Eagles. To increase my... It gives me a perception of plus 18, and
Chester turns into a bird.
Believe that I have a...
Can't pick the lock with his talons.
You shut up. I believe I have something that gives me a bonus. I hate Hero Lab sometimes. I don't like how this is set up.
It is gross and nasty. It's
gross and nasty. The whole online thing is great. I don't like the UI. Because I have feats in like five different places.
Yeah, if you're trying to find feats,
usually
it's a pain in the butt.
Usually people only have two.
Oh. What are you going to do? You going to kill
ding,
me?
Ding, 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 ding.
I want to look at the drawer, look for a trap. My perception is plus 18, plus 19 for traps. Because I'm an idiot. So that is 11 plus 19 because I'm looking for a trap.
30.
It is not trapped. In fact, it doesn't even look like it's locked.
Is it alarmed?
Nope.
I mean, I Chester, didn't detect any magic.
Wait, no. I still would like to actually pick... I would like to pick the lock.
I said it's not locked.
I know. Trust me, Derek. I would like to pick the lock.
Sure. Roll.
Are you going to lock it?
That's 15 plus thievery is 17.
32.
It's not locked.
Do I succeed?
It's not locked.
Do I succeed?
I don't know. It's not locked.
Can I lock the door by picking it?
Sure.
I get a key to this door now because of my keymaker's tools. I unlock it. I open the door. When we go through, I can lock it behind us.
Oh.
That's why you were so insistent.
Yes.
What if there was no lock on the door?
Then there's no lock.
I think there's a lock on the door, but it doesn't say it's locked.
All right. Well, I have a key to it now.
What office doesn't have a lock?
And well, I mean,
I think the lock is to get into this place. Yeah,
the Vault 15 isn't her personal office. It's where her office is located. So this is like going down a hallway, which may very well not be locked. Chester will open the door.
All right.
Should I go first with a higher AC?
Yes, go first.
As you enter here...
What do my elven eyes see?
Look with your special eyes, but not the eagle ones. You see a bullpen, a bunch of desks in a big room.
Are there any bulls in it?
Nope, but there is... You see a big, like, room back here with big windows looking out on this. There's basically 3x3 desks in a square.
It's the captain's office.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the they can see all the this is this it looks like one of the room from a police drama where all the desks where the officers sit all in one room and the captain's office where you can see all of them working. It looks like we're looking at Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
You should move the chair half an inch to the right.
Psych, here, if you come in, Chester can lock the door behind us.
Okay. Man, I guess I am.
I kind of really want to rifle through the papers and see if there's anything good.
We can search. That's like...
Absolutely can.
It's this door.
No, it's not.
Sykir's just going to another part of the vault.
Later.
Goodbye.
Chester will close the door and lock it behind us.
I am called this way.
Why you get called that way? Go eat a sandwich with the racist that
Listen,
hates goblins.
Goblins aren't people. We've established that today.
Goblins aren't people.
oh my goodness.
No. This show is going to get canceled.
People love goblins.
But yeah, as you all enter here, you see these bunch of desks. It is like straight out Brooklyn Nine-Nine in front of a stand-up office setup. Like this room is like in a vault, so it's like concrete floors and I think walls. So there's like a built office room that has windows looking out on the area with the desks. I hope I'm describing that right.
Yeah. Honestly, saying it looks like a police drama image in my mind.
It's quite accurate. It's like a top-down view of a police drama place, but give it like Alkenstar-colored sepia tones.
Can we do a quick shuffle through this
room? Yes, I want to do a perception and rifle through all the papers.
Absolutely.
Hey, I do have a question. Where are all the officers that should be in here? Unless they're all corrupt because they're in...
They're going to lunch.
Or lunch, or because this is Loveless's area, she could have just only hired corrupt people.
Pleeple. I would like, if you're going to search here, I'll just tell you what you can roll.
Oh.
Society, accounting lore, legal lore, underworld lore.
Oh, there it is.
What would be better for me to roll? Society or underworld
lore?
Can
I roll
Alkenstar
lore?
The DC is the
lore?
Same for all of these.
Then I will...
No, not Alkenstar lore.
Okay, I tried.
This is paperwork stuff.
I will do society, and I got a 19 on the die, plus 19.
Nice.
Yo.
38. Also, by the by, I'm pretty sure I said earlier that I have Loveless as a pursue a lead now.
Yeah.
Can I add my bonus to that?
Yeah.
40.
Yo.
Beautiful.
Because my pursue a lead bonus went up.
Did Jacob just get like the galaxy brain moment as Chester? Chester?
I mean, that's a critical success, but it's not going to get you anything more.
That desk, and it's just like... It all makes sense.
Did you just reorganize your red yarn board?
I'm going to hold on to that critical success for other stuff.
It's the mind palace.
Should I mark it in my notes?
Discombobulate and then discombobulate.
So one thing you find, you're looking through basically this bullpen, all these different desks here. So this is like what you kind of anticipate to be Loveless's minions. As you go through this, Sykira, are you rolling as well?
You kidding me?
Okay. I don't have any of those skills.
I have nothing.
Are you guys just funneling papers to Chester?
Lore.
Chester's eyes glow, and he says, "Hand me papers."
They start orbiting you like an anime thing.
Like in Matilda. Like when she's dancing
Chester's
with all the papers
feet start
around.
To lift
books.
Off the ground.
I
was built to rule society.
Could I stealth the papers? Could I thievery the papers?
God.
This is unfortunately, I remember prepping this room. That's like, this is Chester's the only person going to be rolling checks on this.
Yeah.
Okay, what does he learn? Tell us.
Yeah, what do we learn? Enough joking.
Let's go, bud.
You go through all their papers with the help of Eleanor and Psyche here on the desks out here. And you see that like a couple of these different people are trying to track down someone named Dash. Loveless is particularly interested in this person named Dash. They've been searching for them. They're like a cattle rustler. They're a known associate of someone called Rangil Furuza. And I'll spell that for you. R-H-A.
R-H-A.
N-G.
N-G.
Y-L.
Y-L.
And then last name Furuza. F-O-R-U-Z-A.
Rangle.
Furuza.
It's Rangle.
Rangle?
It's like wrangling.
I'll wrangle
you. I wonder
you.
If that's intentional.
Probably.
Rangle Furuza.
But there...
Isn't Rangle like a W?
Yeah, but it's like okay. A name. It's phonetically, I think it matches.
You see Dash's name come up with Rangle Furuza a lot. But main thing you know is that they're a cattle rustler, and they're working with someone named Rangle Furuza, and they're trying to track them down. And you can also tell with your critical success that they're going, they're trying to track this person down with malicious intent. You can see that they have... like hit plans and also things to either cover up a hit or frame Dash.
Oh.
That's all you find out here in the bullpen.
Are they trying to assassinate both of them or just Dash?
It looks like there's some sort of case that they've been able to frame Rangle for, but you don't have anything else on that, at least from here.
Okay.
These minions out here are focused on Dash.
All right.
Well, there are crooks... in this here West that have claimed to be the best.
Oh my God.
And they think they wrote the book on how to rustle. Well, as good as they may be, not a one's as good as me, and I barely have to move a single muscle.
I need to rewatch that movie.
I love Home on the Range.
How much do you think so I can get away with actually singing?
Cause when I go little, I love Home on the Range so much.
A cattle rustler?
What are you doing with Uncle Slam?
Oh my goodness. Chester announces, they're trying to kill a cattle rustler. I don't know why, but they're trying to kill a cattle rustler.
You don't prod. You don't yell. Still, he drives them down as well.
Sorry, I haven't seen that stage play.
Chaps are labeled XXXXL.
Y'all, we're going to have to fix all this out.
So that is what is important in this room.
My point of view. Your little Lalloo. This is going to get crappy struck. Yes, there are two other rooms in here I told you about. There's the big office, the captain's office overlooking this.
Uh-huh.
And you can see there are some other offices towards the back.
Let's go to the other offices. Okay. Can we see into the other offices from the captain's room?
Like
through all the glass? Okay.
Can we go into the captain's room?
You surely can.
Chester would like to do a perception check to check for traps in the captain's room.
Or is that not an aidable thing?
You can just also make a check.
Oh, okay.
Well, if I do low enough, I might set off a trap or whatever, so. I roll 7 on the die for a 35, 36 if it's trapped.
It is not trapped. Door seems to be locked. Very simple lock.
Oh. Yeah, Chester will try to unlock it with his thievery of 17. 16 on the die plus 17.
How much was the total?
16 plus 17 is 33.
Two successes.
Awesome. And then he will do it again. 9 plus 17, 26.
Yep, you get in.
All right. Just to note it, he does not get rid of the key for the other door.
Okay.
He has that option, but he does not, because I think it's more important to have a key to that door.
And now you've entered, basically, it's like you described the captain's office from the police TV show. There's a big desk in here. There's a comfy leather-looking chair. There's two chairs on the other side. There's a number of notes and journals, a pen. There is a case full of documents. Loveless's office, which is what this is pretty well organized. There's those two large glass windows that look out until the bullpen. The desk is huge.
That's what it's called.
Right in the middle of the room.
There's also a chest.
And everything in here is like precisely organized. The chest has documents and stuff in it.
Oh, okay.
So I really want to look through all this.
Yeah, let's look.
And like...
Mm-hmm.
What do I roll for this?
Know about who she's been framing and what she's up to.
If that stuff would be here.
Society.
Society again?
Society again, or any of the other accompanying lores. What'd you get?
I got a 5 on the die, but my society's really high. And we won't be getting another hero point for...
Unless you do something cool.
This is also Loveless's office.
That's true.
You really want this.
I'll use the hero point. I have bottle caps.
I really want this.
10. So that will be...
That's better than 5.
Plus 19 for 29, plus 2 for 31.
A hero point well spent.
Yeah, I would agree.
So in here, you find some other information. You see that Lovelace has a day log that kind of logs what she's been up to. On this day log, you see things that are fairly normal for a shield marshal of her status, but you don't see anything directly implicating her with Pyronite stuff. But you do see something that catches your eye. Lovelace has met with someone called Christia Tumind. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A, Christia.
Uh-huh.
And then Tumind is T-O-M-B-E-N-D.
Oh, like a tomb.
Tomb in.
She has met with someone known as Christia Tumind multiple times. You, with the society check, can deduce and figure out that this is a very well-to-do, wealthy person in Alkenstar. You can also see from the log and other things related to it that Tumind hosts these like parties at her flat, where a bunch of like different well-to-do people in her circles like meet for things with somewhat regularity. And in fact, there is an invitation for Lovelace, and multiple invitations in an envelope to an event that is tomorrow.
Oh.
Does Lovelace allow a plus
what
one or plus two?
What type of event
two?
Is it?
You have enough invitations for all of you.
We're all Lovelace.
No, for all of you. You have at least 3.
Oh, okay.
What type of event?
Yeah, what type of event? The
it
invitation would give information, right?
Like it's an art gala.
Ooh.
Oh, that sounds so posh.
I love art. It's so cool. It's going to be great. Right up my alley. Wonder if they'll have comms.
You don't have art lore?
I've got athletics.
You can roll athletics to look at art. I punch the art.
I have occultism, which goes hand in hand with art.
But that's the main thing you find in here. There's nothing particularly incriminating. There's a lot of like nebulous paperwork in here.
Okay. It's typical legal shield marshal stuff.
Mixed in with just like, I'm a manager stuff.
Yeah.
And all this other stuff.
So nothing I'm getting juicy. The feeling that anything that we found out into the other place were some of her lackeys messing up and mentioning they wanted Dash dead.
Yes. Lovelace is pretty clean, but you did find this, which is a pretty big important thing.
Yeah.
Did that search check include the chest of papers and not just the desk?
It's the whole room.
Okay.
Did we find a gun?
By the way, the event is called the Iron Makers Art Gala.
Ooh.
Oh.
Iron Makers? Is it specifically smithing?
It's dwarves. Ugh. Has Chester ever heard of this?
Status halflings.
I don't think you have, no.
Okay. I didn't know if you'd allow me a society check.
Because
I got my hands on the pulse of this city.
No, I don't think you've heard of this.
Since I got my hands on the pulse of this city,
I imagine Chester with his hands on veins.
So if there are no items that we could loot or anything like that?
Not in this office.
Why would we take stuff? We don't want it to make it obvious we're here.
Mm-hmm. It don't matter if they knew we were here once we're gone. We snuck in so well they don't know who it is.
We could still get caught.
Chester wearing glove, by the way. Wow. Chester is wearing gloves, by the way.
Wearing glove?
Chester's wearing one glove, one singular glove. It is red and sequined.
But he touches everything with his non-gloved hand. Did we find any items in the bullpen?
No.
Okay.
Let's go.
So Chester will say, hey, let's go check out that office back there. This stuff seems pretty important, but maybe there's some more back there.
All right.
Eleanor is like in.
Psycheer, are you watching the door?
Sure.
I see you there on the map. That's why I asked.
That makes sense. I just have not moved myself.
Make me a perception check.
Oh no. Okay, right,
girl.
It's a good thing
let's
you were there.
Go. 25.
Oh.
Psycheer, you hear the sound of like footsteps on the concrete coming up, and you hear muffled voices.
If that's the case, then I'm gonna go alert them, and maybe we should pop our potions.
Because you're not done searching this place yet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're right. This is what we got the potions for.
What do you say?
We should get into the hallway and search and take the potions and just listen. We need to be somewhere where we can't be bumped into, because that won't make us undetectable.
What we could do is close the door to Lovelace's office with us inside and drink the potions when they open that door. Or when they jiggle it, because it'll be locked, but I would presume they have a key. So they jiggle it, then we drink the potions.
Okay, let's do it then.
right?
It wasn't locked, though. Will this set off alarm bells in their mind?
I kind of doubt it. It's just like an office area thing. All it takes is for one person to lock it and not realize it.
We're just going to have to seed in their minds that the guy they hate, that fucking Steve, did
it.
Ryan, Tyler.
Honestly, we could just go into the office and search back there. And when we hear, like, opening door noises, we drink the potions then.
Why don't we get into this hallway that I can look at?
Let's just go to the off. Let's go to the room we haven't been in yet.
Let's go.
All right. Are you going to be at the door sec here, or are you going to follow them into the hallway?
I'll keep an eye on the door, but I won't be right at it.
Okay.
Where do you guys think I should go?
I guess if you're going to be in there, somewhere where they most likely wouldn't step.
We'll get here, behind a desk, but close enough that I can keep an eye on them.
And we're popping potions?
When they try to
try to get in. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Other question is, whenever you decide to leave, if you're all invisible, how do you communicate that? We'll deal with that when we get to it.
We surreptitiously knock something over. There's got to be a precariously stacked pile of paper somewhere, you know?
Chester, where are you going to go?
Chester, we need to stick around, I guess. So instead of going into the back room...
Hold on. Actually, why don't you all do me a favor real quick? Roll me stealth scores.
Oh, boy. Here we go. I rolled a 4.
27.
17.
Wait, hold on to those for me real quick.
I rolled an 18 in total.
I got a 3 on the die.
You also have hero points, guys.
I don't.
Okay, Drow, you have a hero point if you need it.
It's okay. We have potion of invisibility. Chester will draw his potion of invisibility to be ready.
How long do they last?
10 minutes.
That would be enough time to get
out
of their sight. Oh my goodness, how many times did he roll?
All right, so Chester, what'd you get on a stealth check?
17.
Okay, psych here.
18.
18. Eleanor?
27.
Is this initiative?
Maybe.
If it is, I get +2 to that.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Okay, so Chester, we actually are going to be in initiative now. Eleanor and Psyche are going to look out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Chester, on your turn, move your allotted amount of space and actions.
Okay, I was going to go into the back. I said that. Let's not waffle around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, there's more. 7.
As you go in the back, there's 2 more offices you can see.
Is there a hallway right there?
Yeah, it's just the other side of the offices you've already been on.
Oh, okay.
This room's weird. So basically, just like there's the same hallway you were on, it's kind of half mirrored on the other side.
And double check, this area right here, this is just straight hallway. It's black to me. The lighting's messed up. Okay.
Is that all your movement?
Oh, no, actually. I suppose I could just do more. He'll step right here and open this door.
Okay. You open it. It is not locked. So there's an office to your left and an office to your right. You open this one up. You see a chest in here. You see that unlike Loveless's office, which was pristine and well-organized, this one has a chaotic mess of papers on the desk in here.
Uh-huh.
Not nearly as well appointed. What do you do? Is that all your actions?
That was move, open door.
All right. That's all your actions.
Yeah.
Like here, you hear the footsteps getting closer, but you don't hear them at the door yet.
Then I guess I will just prepare to drink it.
Pull it out?
Yeah.
All right.
Like the 2-action prepare.
Okay, ready in action. I gotcha. Mm-hmm. That'll do. So, Eleanor, are you going to do the same thing?
Don't like that Chester's ahead of us, but I don't want to leave Psyche here. So yes, I will 2-action prepare to drink my potion if they walk in.
All right, Chester, you see this office in front of you. You have a complement of actions, but you have to move quickly. What are you going to do?
Am I able to do a perception check in a round?
You can do your society check in here.
Okay, then Chester's going to very quickly step into the room and society check.
All right, so 1 action step in and then basically 2 actions to look around.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
18 on the die plus 19 is 37. If it involves the Loveless stuff, 39. Yeah,
critical success.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sick.
Okay, so in here you see a couple different things, but the one that stands out to you the most is a newspaper clipping that Rangel Feruza was captured by the shield marshals and is scheduled for public execution. By hanging in 2 days' time.
Rangel Feruza, the associate.
Yeah. You also see that there's a case that he's been framed for in here. Basically, there was like a murder case that they pinned on him.
In 2 days' time?
2 days' time. It even has a location for it.
This sounds like an ally.
We'll have to save him so we can find out where Dash is, because Dash
is
somehow
Let's do it
important.
Pirates of the Caribbean style. Throw a sword and break the rope.
I was
First
wondering,
time.
Would, do they keep prisoners in the vault?
There's probably other vaults with prisoners, but you don't know where he would be.
Understandable. So it's, he has been framed for a murder, he's hanging for it in 2 days' time, and we know where he's being hanged.
Yes.
All right. Anything else? Items or information?
In fact, there is an evidence locker here.
In this room?
In this room.
Will there be some sick, nasty, like, magic items in there?
Are there?
There are. You've used both of your actions to search for things, and you kind of were lucky to find this on the top of the pile.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's all your actions. If you want to open it up and detect stuff, you can next time.
Next turn. Fair enough.
Okay. So let's go around again. You hear those footsteps get closer. You think they're outside the door this time. But they haven't tried it yet. And it sounds like not just one person. It sounds like multiple people from what you can hear through all these walls.
I'll continue what I was doing last time.
Prepare an action.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
To drink your potion.
Yeah.
That's what they did, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, cool. Same thing, Eleanor?
I'm not going to leave Tsykir in there alone. Yes, same thing.
All right, cool. Chester, your turn again. You open it up, one action, and you see stuff.
He does like stuff.
Do like stuff.
You see a what looks like a lasso.
Oh.
Really nice, perhaps magical lasso. You see an armor rune.
Oh.
You see basically a bunch of very nice looking items in here. There is a like really nice bag of dust. It says Lich Dust on it. And you see some special ammunition.
Can I just say Chester grabs it?
You can just grab it all.
I will grab it.
One action open.
Two action grab.
Two actions to shove it into your trench coat.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's...
You're just tempting us.
And as part of that, he will close the chest.
Okay. You just basically pick it up into one of your sleeves.
Close it.
Cool. That might not be how it works mechanically, but we'll call it there.
Yeah.
All right. Next round comes around. And Eleanor, nothing happens. And then after your spot here, you hear someone try the door and then you hear fumbling with keys.
Okay, good.
And then Psycheer's turn comes up. Now it's Chester's turn again.
Chester will. So let me ask you something. When people move, if they were casually walking through their office, would they still move 25 feet per movement?
Or is that running?
Or is that like in combat trying to get to a place?
That's not running, but that is moving with purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I wanted to drink my potion, now would be a good time.
It's 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chester will drink the potion he has in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
He will step. He'll move and he will close the door.
Okay.
And then what I'm going to do is like, I'll close the door and finish my movement like... around this corner.
Step, close door, and then you have another move action.
Wait, drink potion, and can I like close the door in the middle of my movement, then continue my movement?
No.
I can't? Okay. Then what he'll do is he'll like move right there. Right there and close the door.
Okay, so he'll go back one.
Yeah, I will also note we closed Loveless's door.
Yes.
Okay. We did.
Okay. It sounds like you might have all the things you need from here anyway. You haven't searched the last office.
That's right. That was the last office, and I was hoping to chance it, but I don't know.
You do have a lot. You have the art gala, the execution.
Yeah.
So you have leads. And you have loot.
Yeah, so Chester has drunk his potion.
All right. Next round comes around. Eleanor, are you going to do anything?
I will prepare the two round. Prepare to guzzle that potion.
Okay. All right.
I hate this.
So, on this round, the door finally opens. You see...
Drink potions!
Hey, you're going to set off your action?
Yeah.
When you hear the door open?
Yeah, the door opens. Set off action, drink potion. I'm invisible.
He finally opens. One action, you see this dwarf-looking figure. Looks like a same kind of rough-looking shield marshal. This is the artwork for these guys.
Ooh.
It's not a named creature, I don't think.
Still cool art. I love the red beard.
Yeah. And following him is another one. Another rough-looking shield marshal. These guys, you can see, they all have this pin on them, or this patch with the broken heart. And as this leading figure moves in here, you hear him say, the door, with a loud squeal, the vault door swings open. And a uniformed shield marshal steps in the room, accompanied by four burly companions. They're all wearing bowler hats. And he says, "All right, boys." Shield Marshal says, "Lovelace wants us to get rid of anything that might raise questions before the big show. Let's get cleaning." And they start moving towards the desks.
Like the desks in the big room?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
And then this triggers both of you guys' actions.
Of course.
Before he enters. So let me mark you as not detected.
Did we take the papers we learned these things about, or did we leave them?
Probably taken.
Probably take them. Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're papers. We can just shove them in our pockets.
All right. So I'm going to make some very important checks here. What are your stealth bonuses?
14.
14? 17.
So 14, 17, and Chester?
14.
So 24 is your stealth DC.
What does the Potion of Invisibility do for us?
So when invisibility, I've looked this up before we recorded, you gives you the invisible condition. All the invisibility potion does is like you cast a second rank invisibility spell on yourself, and that just gives you invisible condition for 10 minutes. You can't be seen. You're undetected to everyone. Creatures can seek to detect you. If a creature succeeds at a perception against your stealth DC, you become a hidden to that creature. So I'm going to modify this because this isn't, I know you're here and I'm looking for you, which is what seek is. This is just to see if he happens to notice anything is up.
Would we like get bonuses to that, or?
I'm giving you a big bonus to it. Yeah.
I mean, neither of us have moved. So if we're still in silent, we
this
should
is,
be.
For me, this is also representing that you've rifled through this place a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. I don't think he sees you. I think he is too preoccupied, and he doesn't notice anything is up. And so basically, yeah, he just doesn't see you. He moves in. Psych here, it's your turn. You had your ready action popped off from last round. What do you want to do?
I feel like we need to start moving out.
Yeah.
We need to get out of
here. We could have established a sound thing by the carriage to meet up at. Like a gentle tapping that could be like gears settling. Or something like that.
Or like a paper falling.
Or a paper falling.
Because they opened the door.
Yeah.
Right now, I think the problem is they've just moved in, and they're kind of in your way.
Yeah, they're kind of in the way. That's the problem we're facing right now.
Can I climb stealthily?
Sure.
Also, you could ready actions to move if they get close.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if they come your way, you could ready the action to get out of their way.
If I'm able to just...
Oh, climb the wall.
Yeah.
That's clever.
Sure, you could just do that. Roll me a stealth check as you want to move.
Okay.
You got this. You have a hero point.
22.
I don't know what you rolled. I see question
22?
Uh-huh.
That's not bad.
Hang on, I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Hey, just hold on 1 second. I'm still thinking. How many people are there? Just two?
Only two have entered so far.
So far.
Did I hear more?
You did hear more.
You did hear more.
You could also just wait for everyone to come in.
I already rolled is the thing.
You did already roll.
Okay. I think that the fairest thing I could do with this information would be to keep that roll, but wait.
Okay. And then use it whenever you move.
Okay.
On that note, are you going to use a hero point?
I'm still thinking about it. And I'm not using it right now, I have more time.
That's fair.
Chester, it's your turn.
Oh, the temptation to open this office door and see what's in there.
Do you know that they came in?
I would hear them talking.
Yeah, they talked pretty loudly. Quiet.
Oh, okay.
And none of them have made it here. Chester will open this door quietly. If
you open it up and you see a very similar situation to the room you just searched.
Uh-huh.
It's another office that looks like of a lackey of Lovelace's, like an underling. Very just covered in papers. Doesn't look like there's any loot in here, though.
Okay. He'll have to make his calls. We've already found lots of valuable information. Real quick, I just remembered... I just realized I have a feat that I could have been using this whole time, but oh well. No, that's for emergency. I have something called Glean Contents, where I'm quickly able to scan loose papers and discover discerning contents of like sealed letters without damaging the seal, stuff like that. I get like when I see a piece of paper, I can roll to see if I see it.
Okay.
I don't think that would apply here.
It makes sense for because you're like going through a lot of information real quickly.
But it's also just society check.
Okay.
Can I, from the doorway, do a check?
With your glean, is there a distance listed on your glean thing?
No. However,
glean lore.
This is glean contents. Oh, this is for sealed letters, I guess, specifically. That's odd, but
you
okay.
You're adept at quickly scanning loose papers and carefully discerning the contents of sealed letters without damaging the seal. I would say you'd still have to go up to the desk.
That would be open door, movement, glean.
Leave.
That's four actions.
Open door, move one. In, uh-huh. Glean.
Glean, yeah.
That's three.
And then you said leave.
Oh, yeah, leave is next round.
You know what? Let's do it.
Risk it for the biscuit.
All right, move in there.
Step in and, oh, where's the best place? The right here. He will glean contents from right there.
Roll society.
Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. 19 plus 19 is 38.
Not bad, dog.
Crushing
we
it.
Need this right now, Jacob.
This phenomenal. Room
Chester was made for this.
This room is particularly interesting. It's mostly about Rangel Feruza again. Twist you find here that's particularly damning is that you figure out that the reason they want to wipe out Feruza is because Loveless hired him as part of procuring Pyronite supplies.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. So getting rid of knowledgeable people.
Yeah.
Cutting off loose ends.
Yeah, that's why they've framed him in an unrelated murder and arrested him and he's scheduled to be executed.
The good thing about this, though, is that she was probably never going to come pick up Mugland.
Not until things worked out, the deal was done and stuff like that, I think. Or ever, you're right.
Yeah.
You recognize it. It doesn't say Pyronite, but I think because of your critical and you being an alchemically adept person,
yeah,
that you're looking at like the things that they were procuring through this guy, and it's like, oh yeah, they were manufacturing Pyronite.
All right, and that is Chester's turn.
Cool. Was it worth going in the room?
It may have been.
All right.
It's neat information.
All right, so the next few dudes here are going to enter the room, and they're going to start heading to the different desks. These guys in the bowler hats. The art for them is like hobgoblins, but the text describe them as dwarves. It doesn't really matter. But these like
they're
lackeys.
They're just really ugly dwarves.
It's just
just the ugliest fucking dwarves.
They all got
seen.
Their little bowler hats and cigars, and they're going, and they've just got like bags that they're shoving all this paperwork into. And that is their turn. They basically take up these desks. Eleanor, it is your turn if you would like to take it.
They're still blocking the door.
Yeah, they haven't. The ones in the way of the door haven't acted this round.
I think I've picked a pretty strategic location. I don't want to move until I have to.
Do you want
to
delay?
Can I?
Ooh.
I think I'll delay.
Okay.
I think I've picked a pretty strategic location.
Okay. Then this guy is going to head over to Loveless's office.
Also, they're still blocking the door.
Open the door and enter.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is going to go to this desk in front of Loveless's office. I'll just put them on the square with the desk to make it easier and start working on it. Same thing, bag in hand, just dumping documents in. Are you still on delay?
Half me wants to start getting closer to the door.
Yeah, it's open now.
Yeah, it's open. They didn't close it behind them.
I think it shuts on its own. Well, no, it doesn't. I take that back. This is a heavy, like, steel door. It would stay open.
Get out.
Yeah, let's get out.
If you hear a ruckus, you can run back in.
So why don't you figure out your movement and then give me a stealth check?
Oh, the stealth checks. We're so close to doing this.
Okay, I do not have panache, so I have 35 feet of movement. I can move 7 squares. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't like that spot.
You can get out, though, with, like, a double move, it looks like.
You know what? I'm going to go for the spot right by the door.
Okay.
And if push comes to shove, I'm blocking their exit.
Stealth check, please.
Yep, I figured. I've been rolling like fire. I'm a little scared.
Uh-oh.
I use my hero point.
That was a natural 5.
I use my hero point.
We're really banking on making it out of here undiscovered.
Yeah.
Oh!
97.
17. Worth it. Worth it.
Silent as a ghost. One action or two?
Two. So okay. I'm going to get one more over then. I'm going to fully block the door.
Okay. You have 2 actions. Spent one left. What do you want to do?
If I draw my sword, would I be a threat and my invisibility wouldn't count?
You only goes away after you commit a hostile action.
Would I have to stealth check again to draw it quietly?
I think it would be another stealth check, because that's going to make noise.
Then I won't draw. I'm just going to stay there. I don't want to get too far from my companions. I have enough movement to get back away from the door.
Okay.
Like to this section where okay. If someone went out the door, I would have a tiny bit of time to make a move.
Okay.
And no, I can't ready. Never mind.
All right. Then it's going to be Sykir's turn. I know you wanted to climb, but it's been a whole round. So what do you want to do?
I'll just walk out since nobody's guarding the door now.
Okay. Stealth check, please. That was a 3 on the die. Okay. It's a good use for a hero point. Oh, another 17 on the die.
So that's a 31.
Oh!
Hell yeah. All right, move on out. You are able to get out undetected. One action puts you at the door, and then you're going to get out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There we go. I'm going to wait hither.
Okay.
To the side of the door.
Chester, it's just you in here, and you don't have any idea where Eleanor and Sykir are, but it's just you. Did you drink your potion?
Yes.
So you are invisible.
Yeah.
You've scoured this room as quickly as you can, and you hear them just making a ruckus, shoving papers.
Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
He'll step out.
Okay.
Close the door.
All right.
And then he'll step 1, 2... Pull out the measure tool. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's too risky of a spot to be.
No, do not be in the corner.
So
Jacob's payday senses are coming out.
Yeah,
you need to be around an edge of a wall, not in the pathway.
Chester will step to right there, where they have literally no reason to go.
Because otherwise you're in the path of a hallway if they come around this time.
How tall is the ceiling?
The ceiling, let's say, is 10 feet.
All right. That was move, close, move. That is the end of Chester's turn.
All right. New round. Don't mind me while I'm rolling some stuff here.
I'm minding.
All right. So one of these guys actually finishes as a pretty light desk, moves to another desk, and another one also finishes up and moves to another desk. Somewhat in Chester's way, but I think you can still get around him. The guy in Loveless's office is still busy. Eleanor Sykir, your turn passes unless there's something you want to do.
Because I have enough time now, I am going to back up so that I'm not that close to blocking the doorway.
Okay. What about Sykir?
I'm in a good spot, I think.
All right. Chet Williams, invisible boy.
If I take damage, do I lose my invisibility? If I take a hostile action, I do. But if I take damage, do I?
No, it is taking a hostile action. If the target uses a hostile action, the spell ends after that hostile action is completed. Nothing about damage.
All right. Then the only other thing I have to look at before I make my decision is... All right. Chester will, one action, alchemical sciences.
Okay.
Second action, drink the Quicksilver Mutagen that he just made. That will give him a +2 bonus to stealth and other things.
Okay.
A speed bonus of 10 feet. Is that an item bonus? No, it's a status bonus, so his speed actually does not increase.
Okay.
And then for his final action, doesn't want to use it to rush down the hallway only to get stuck, because he's still not in a good spot to get in an out-of-the-way place. So he'll stay right there. He has an additional +2 to his stealth. He also takes twice the item's level in damage, so he takes 6 damage.
Okay, then in that case, let me roll some dice here. Okay. All the shield marshals stay in place. Eleanor, Sykir, anything? Are you in a good spot?
I think we're in good spots.
Chester, your turn again.
So Chester has a speed of 35 feet and has 7 squares. He has 3 actions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Uh-huh. You see the room now.
I do. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Woo!
Chester's out of the room.
Do I need to roll?
As you go through the room, make me a society check.
Society? Not stealth?
Oh, yes, stealth check too. Both.
Which one first?
Stealth first, because that's the fun one.
Come on, Jacob.
Are you trying to see who these shield marshals are?
That is 7 plus 16 is 23.
23? Stealth?
Uh-huh.
You are totally fine.
Goodness. And now society?
Society.
I thought 7 was going to
You were close on the seven, but you're totally fine.
Dang, I might not have had to use mine.
I am hot on society tonight. 16 on the die plus 19 is 35? Yeah, 35.
Damn. So as you go through, it's actually a pretty easy check. You recognize that these minion-looking guys with the bowler hats are something called leadsmiths. They're private detectives and mercenaries. Usually who work for, like, well-to-do people in Alkenstar.
So they're not shield marshals?
No.
The guy in the office is a shield marshal.
Is a shield marshal.
You said these guys are...
leadsmiths?
Yeah.
They're
Pinkertons.
They're Pinkertons.
Further, you know that the leader of the leadsmiths is a Cyclops gunslinger.
What?
You can't remember his name.
Clops Gunslinger?
Yeah.
In Alkenstar?
Yeah.
That's heckin'
awesome.
I like that.
That is kind of sick.
We're going to have to fight him. But Chester gets out and he does the symbol on the carriage as well.
All right.
Tip, tip, tip.
Hey, are now, we just going to hop into this thing and hope that it lifts back up?
Yeah, how do we get out?
So the way you got in was through the elevator.
Uh-huh.
And so that's basically the only way out. All down here is just more and more vaults. So you have to go up the elevator, but your invisibility has only been going for like...
less than a minute.
Less than a minute. So you'll have to go up the elevator and just sneak out the front door.
So we can make physical contact and like toddler handhold our way out.
Yeah.
Can we just say that?
You could also whisper to each other.
Oh, that's fair.
What do you say to each other when you gather back up at the thing?
Chester says, he says, I found out some stuff. Let's get out of here. I got news.
Psycheer.
I don't know who this Psycheer is.
Oh, no. Is that my conscience?
All right,
is this because I got all them goblins killed? No,
it's
because
okay.
That's not bad.
Goblins aren't people.
Oh my goodness.
You sound a whole lot like Sakir, conscience.
Let's go to the elevator.
Yeah, we gotta figure out how to work the elevator.
You go to the elevator, you pull the little Sakir? Lever.
Bad Sakir. Sakir's on here, right? Guys.
It's okay.
I got you all here.
Are we like doing the kindergartner rope thing?
Jacob's doing the thing he does in Borderlands 2 every time we play.
I where actually he jumps, cannot get on the elevator.
It's
just go through Eleanor.
Here.
Oh, okay.
Eglinor.
I'll move Eleanor.
Jacob does this every time we play Borderlands 2 together. He'll get on an elevator that like goes way up somewhere, hit it, and just leave you.
Excuse me,
down.
You've done that more to me than I have ever done to you in the past few times. What I do is blow barrels up on you, so that's a different kind of
rotten. And also that. But there was one time where we went up. What happened? What was the sequence of events?
Oh my god, so we were actually going down.
Yeah.
He tried to jump for it.
Oh, we went down before he got on it.
Yes, and he jumped clear over it. He thought that he was going to land in it, though.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the time I bounced off the roof, bounced off the wall, landed underneath the elevator, and got squished.
Yep.
Both of those happened in the same playthrough, I think.
Yeah.
So,
we try to get up.
You go up the elevator, you get up there, and there's just like this guy eating some cookies, watching his like, stupid machine's broke again. And kicks it.
Cookies will make you fat.
No!
Make me a stealth check as you try to get out the front door.
I was about to say, don't say that. Another stealth check.
Yes, please.
This is suck.
It's 9 plus 16.
Okay. Everyone.
25.
25.
32.
Did I just roll religion?
Did you roll religion?
Nope, that was stealth.
Oh!
33
and 32. You all make it out past the elevator watcher, and as another carriage comes in, you walk right out the front door. Congratulations. You successfully snuck into the Vault of Secrets. Everyone take an additional hero point.
Hot dog!
For a heist well executed. And next week, we'll get to your evidence.
We did this entirely without being noticed.
Stealth bonus unlocked.
Did we solve this stealth puzzle?
Yes, you did.
This is a high right here.
Good job, guys.
Holy crap.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Third Gallon Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please consider subscribing, rating, and reviewing us. If you want to see more from us, check out our website, thirdgallon.com, or follow us on Twitter. We are at thirdgallon, that's T-H-I-R-D gallon. We are also on Threads, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook with the same handle, at thirdgallon. We also publish a video version of this podcast on YouTube, which you can find on our channel, The Third Gallon Podcast. If you'd like to support the show, check out our coffee page. You can find us at coffee.com/thirdgallon. That's ko-fi/thirdgallon. Our theme music for this season is Delta Rust, composed by Andy Ellison. Our ambience for this episode was composed by Michael Gelfie, and you can find more of his work on his YouTube channel, Michael Gelfie Studios, and you can support his awesome work at patreon.com/Michael Gelfie. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.